text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from our Old Testament lesson for the day, from the book of Exodus, the 17th chapter, especially this last verse, where it says, "And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it's always easy to pick on the Old Testament people of God, Israel, especially during their Exodus period. Here they had just been miraculously rescued from slavery in Egypt. And soon they will be going into the promised land of milk and honey. And yet so often when we read this section of Scripture, we find them complaining. Our text for today is so riled up that Moses says that they're about to stone him. And you know, from our distance, it's easy to say, what's wrong with them? God has just saved them and soon will take them into the promised land. Can't they just count their blessings? And yet if we draw a little closer to the reality of their situation, perhaps we begin to understand their comments a little more. After all, they had been in the wilderness for several days without water. So while the big picture all around them was God's salvation and his presence in that salvation, no doubt the lack of water, their immediate situation there in that desert, caused them to doubt his presence. I mean, if you guys were in the desert for several days without water, couldn't you begin to wonder about the plan God had set out as well? You see, the truth is this. The Israelites did have some real troubles there in the wilderness. Well, yes, they should have simply believed in God and trusted that just as he had saved them at the Red Sea, it would bring them into the promised land, that he would be there every step in the middle as well. We must admit that their immediate circumstances, being very thirsty after days without water in a hot and arid place, could cause one to ask, is God among us or not? Jackie had been a Christian most all of her life, or actually her whole life. She grew up in a Christian home. She even went to a Christian school. But now she's getting along in age, even though her spunk and her sharp mind would never let you know it. Jackie's knee had been bothering her for some time, but she continued to pray each night that God would either heal her knee, or at least that she would even have the strength to deal with it until the day when she was called home. But the pain in her knee grew increasingly worse, and the doctor assured her that surgery was the only option. So she went and had the surgery. But after the surgery, the pain remained. Talk began to go around her family about the nursing home. Her home on the farm sat there vacant, and she sat in a hospital bed considering who they would stick her with in the nursing home. And though her upbringing caused her almost to consider it apostasy to even have the thought, as she laid on her bed that night, she thought, is God here or not? Rachel was a typical high school girl, although she certainly didn't think of herself that way. She grew up in a Christian home, and she truly sought to do what the Lord desired for her. She had waited to date anyone until she was 16, just like her father had asked her to do. And then when she began to date, she met a guy who treated her so well, just like the ones her mom had promised her if she would truly wait for one. They began to date, and Rachel believed that she was in love, but she would never say it just in case Jake didn't feel the same way. But then one night came the phone call. Jake was in the hospital. His four-wheeler had flipped, and he was not doing well. Rachel's mom quickly took her to the hospital. But as Rachel walked into the hospital, she saw a man in a white coat talking to the family of Jake. She watched with dismay as Jake's mother fell to the ground and began weeping. The doctor had revealed that Jake had not made it through. That night, Rachel's anger knew no bounds. Her emotions that night were more powerful than any pious notions she had of how she was to act towards God. Her hands pounding on her pillows, she cried out through her tears, "God, are you here or not?" Bill was a man who sat in the same pew every week in church. He had even began to read his Bible and pray more at home once he noticed that his marriage seemed to be getting a little rough. Bill had done everything he could think of to try to salvage his marriage. But yet on one harshly cold winter afternoon, Cheryl, his wife, stopped by their old house with the papers. As she handed it to him, she said, "I never loved you, and I found someone else. And it's been going on for some time now." Bill sat a month later in his new apartment, depressed and not sure even to know how to go about life. For after all, Cheryl had been his wife for 13 years, and now all of that was cast into doubt. Bill's prayer life grew short and troubled. Finally, all he could get out was, "God, are you here or not?" Yes, life in the wilderness is challenging, because the wilderness is not the promised land. So today we must realize that you and I as well are not living yet in the promised land, but rather we are in the wilderness. And indeed, life in the wilderness is challenging. Anyone who says otherwise likely has their head in the clouds. Yes, while it's easy to scoff at those Israelites and all of their complaining out there in the desert, instead today of scoffing at them, we must instead rather admit that we have been there too, between rescue and full salvation, struggling with the troubles of our immediate life. I should make clear, but indeed, in living in the wilderness is not that makes it okay for us to doubt in God. Truly, God's rescue of us and his bringing us to full salvation should be enough. But often for us, it is not. We often falter on the journey to heaven. You see, the Bible considers the life that you and I are living a wilderness journey. In the Bible, our Red Sea moment, so to speak, for Christians is when we are baptized. And then ever since that point we were baptized, we are journeying towards the promised land, towards heaven. But right now, we are in that wilderness wandering period of our lives. And we often falter, just like the Israelites did, because of the things our eyes see, the things our ears hear, the pains our bodies feel. Yes, sometimes we are taken down by a major crisis in our life, like those in Rachel or Bill or Jackie's life. Other times it's simply the accumulation of much smaller things that seems to weigh us down. But whatever the case, we too can be brought to the point where all we can ask is, "God, are you here among us or not?" Just like those Israelites of old. But thanks be to God. When we test God as the Israelites tested God, his response is not to cast us out of his presence, but rather to show us his presence in real ways. In the Israelites' case, they had begun to think that perhaps God was there at the Red Sea, and perhaps would show up again when they got to the promised land. But God wanted them to know that He indeed was with them every step they took, circling through that desert wilderness. And so, out of a rock, and a particularly dry rock at that, God made water for them to flow, so that they could drink and their thirst could be satisfied. And it was times like this, when God extended His care to those Israelites, that enabled them to finally make it to the other side, to the border of the promised land. Yes, God gave there in the wilderness water for the weary, and it sustained them. And God does the same for us as well, although we live in a different day and different time. It was a kind chaplain in the nursing home that became a source of joy for Jackie once she arrived. With his words about Christ, he lifted her spirit. And he also encouraged Jackie that she should not consider this the end of her life, but rather a new section of her life where she could still look for ways to serve God through serving others. She made it through each day, looking for those in the nursing home that were less fortunate than her, so that she could show them the love of Christ she had known since infancy. Rachel found refuge in her youth group. While no one there when they gathered together had any answers to tell her about why that tragic accident had happened, they did know about the answer, Jesus, and were pleased, as Rachel needed it, to remind her of Him. They stayed with her many nights and offered her many shoulders to cry on, even as the rest bowed their heads in prayer. And through their support, she made it through. Bill one day was walking outside of his apartment and met an old man who lived just a couple apartments down. As they got to talking, Bill was told that this old man, too, had been left by his wife many years ago. This old man invited Bill to come back with him to church and to begin to learn what he had learned. That even though he had lost what he thought was the one true love of his life, that he still had Jesus, who had become the thing he loved most. And for you and I, whatever the case, whether we are at a point of crisis or simply the world and all of its small disappointments have sort of weighed us down, God too does not leave us to question His presence, but rather makes it evident to us. He comes to us each time we hear His promises in the Word, whether that be here on Sunday morning or whether it be from a friend or a family member. He comes to us each time we gather here on Sunday mornings in this community in order that we might support one another with the love of Christ. And He comes to us each time we gather at His altar to receive His body and His blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the assurance of His presence. Yes, for those walking through the wilderness, the Israelites, you and me, God gives water. He is a gracious God that gives water to the weary. And the water that He gives us ultimately to drink, it is Jesus. For as Jesus made clear, He is living water. We who drink of Him, we'll never be thirsty again. Amen.